Marilee, could you expand that one more time? Book of Colossians. I actually started this a while back. Colossians chapter 2, verse 5 is our... children, you are released. Sorry about that. Children's church. Bye-bye. All the kids said, yay! The parents went, phew. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 2, verse number 5 says, the Apostle Paul writing to the church of Colossae, says, though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. I've used this scripture. I've been saved 30 plus years, and I've read the book of Colossians, I don't know how many dozens of times. But recently, when I was reading through, I got to that one phraseology, beholding your order, and I kind of stopped dead. It's one of those whoa moments. Some people call that revelation. I call it whoa. I seen something I had not seen or didn't retain anyway for 33 years. And it's the word order. God is a God of order. Now, some, I believe this is like the fourth installment of this. And some may be saying, well, why is that important? I think it's of the ultimate importance. God is a God of order in the entire world and universe. He's also a God of order in our personal lives. We talked about how God, in the book of Genesis, took, according to Genesis chapter 1, a world that was void and without form. It was all mixed up. And it said the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of God moved across the waters. And we've seen how he took something that was all mixed up, and he sat it in order. He separated what was mixed up. Next thing he did was to bring forth fruit, which was the second installment of this teaching. He brought forth fruit once things were set in order. And as things continued, when everything was in order, then God created his greatest accomplishment, mankind. Now, whether you believe in creation or not, I'm not here to argue that with you. But one thing I know we're all convinced of, whether you believe in creation or big bangs or hot gas or whatever you believe in, we all believe there is an order to things. Amen? Everything is well ordered. Now, it would only stand to reason if the world and everything around us is in order. I'm going to say now, because it's the hand of God has touched it and put it in order, how much more so should our lives be in order if we've been touched by God? Are you out there? Hallelujah. Turn backwards in the book of Colossians, chapter number 1, starting in verse number 15. We've preached up to verse 15. I got three things I want to say today, and I don't know if I can get them said. But there are three things as we end chapter 1 before we go to chapter 2 next week. Starting in number 15, verse number 15 of chapter 1, the apostle is talking about Jesus, talking about him being the Son of God. And he writes, you can read it on the board or you can read it in your Bible, whichever you wish to do, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him all things are created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Please say for him. Verse 17, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that all things he may have preeminence. Preeminence means he's the first in everything. Number one. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. That's the end of the first thought I want to bring you, but I'm going to read on. Verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated, and listen to this word, enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If, turn to your neighbor and say, if. Don't you really hate when someone says, it's all good if. There's an if involved here. Verse 23, if you continue in the faith and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which is preached to every creature, which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you. This is third thought, by the way. And fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but is now made manifest to his saints, to whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. Hallelujah. Three things I want to talk about today. Keeping in mind, our main title is Divine Order. God has an order to everything he does. There's an order to the universe. Can anyone say amen? Anybody here who has studied any kind of biology or even high school or junior high biology, you know there's a certain order to the human body. What happens just doesn't happen because of happenstance. It happens because there's a plan. There's a plan in everything, amen? Part of God's plan for us is, one, to have our lives unscrambled. The second is to be brought to a place where we can bring forth fruit. I also preach the fact that God wants us to succeed and has shared his glory that we may. So God wants to straighten out our life, bring forth fruit, and make us successful. The fourth thing I want to talk about is right here in verse 15, reading down. Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. He's before all things, and by him all things consist. Let's rest a minute. Hallelujah. I told you this morning, this has been going on since yesterday, but I've got this song going through my mind. You know, I've been saved a couple of decades now. And back in the old days, when I got saved back in the 70s, we didn't have a whole bunch of songs like we have now. We took some of the hymns and upgraded, and we did a few things. But we did a lot of these little choruses. And there's this one little song we used to sing, Brother David, that just sticks with me 33 years later. It was a haunting little thing. It simply said, he's all I need. He's all I need. I want us to remember today when we leave here. I want us to be inspired while we're here. And I want us to apply after we leave here that Jesus Christ is all that we need. Amen. There is such a time that we live in where we want to mix philosophies. We take the philosophy of this and the philosophy of that, and we add Christianity to the mix, and we begin to mix it all together. Any of you folks out there who know anything about baking in particular, baking is more science than cooking. I was told this by a chef, so it's more science, okay? But here's the thing. If the recipe calls for six ingredients, and those ingredients are 1 through 6, but we decide we got 6 ingredients, but we're not going to use 1 through 6, we're going to use 7 through 12. 13. That added real quick in my mind. Hallelujah. But you don't understand, Pastor, I got 6 ingredients. Yeah, but you got the wrong ingredients. And you don't have to change all 6. All you got to do is change one. I found out a long time ago that baking soda and baking powder are not the same thing. All the women are just laughing. Hallelujah. They don't do the same thing. They start with the same word. They kind of look alike. But the end product is not what you want it to be. You can have a cake or a cracker. It all depends what you put in there. Hallelujah. But
we laugh about that, but see, in our Christianity, we seem to think we can take an alternate philosophy, something that God didn't give us, something that God didn't put in the recipe, and we can mix it in. I was reading something a while back. This is a long time ago, up in New York State, up in Syracuse, New York. They had a real problem with a lot of the babies. Many of the babies in the nursery began to die. Couldn't figure out why. They went in and they checked out something, brother. They found out, I don't know why they did this, but they found out that whoever was mixing the formula, that's back before Similac and all that stuff, they mixed the formula. Someone, instead of putting sugar in the formula, put salt. Looked the same, felt the same, it didn't produce life, it killed. See, we need to understand that if we take something from the world, if we take something that God says is not supposed to be in the recipe, and we add it in, oh, it looks the same. What's the big deal? The end result can be totally opposite than what we started out to achieve. Hallelujah. God said through the apostle here, all you need is in Christ Jesus. I want to say that again. All we need today, in light of economic situation, in light of unemployment, in light of physical problems, in light of family problems, all we need is Jesus Christ. We are not to take other philosophies and mix it in, even though we think it may be good. Glory to God. For by him, who's him? Jesus. For by Jesus were all things created. Now, if you don't believe in creation, we got a problem right here. I'm just going to ignore that ignorance and say, God created. Yeah, I learned something about God. A few things. But here's the one thing I want to talk about right now. I have read the Bible several times over. I've never counted, but some smart man said there's over 753,000 words. I'll say amen and believe him. But you know what I can't find in the Bible, sister? I cannot find a place where God defends himself. He simply said, I am. You can take it or you can leave it. Amen? So I'm going to do the same thing today. You don't have to believe in creationism. You have every right in the world to be wrong. Hallelujah. Heard a man a long time ago. Said, people say, I'm closed-minded as I can afford to be. I'm right. Everything we need, everything that was made, everything that was created, all that power came through and was given to Jesus Christ. So I hear people saying God, God, God all day long. I want to know his name. I'm not talking about Jehovah. I'm not talking about Yahweh. I'm talking about Jesus Christ, because in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Hallelujah. I think, sister, we need to take some of those other philosophies and push them aside and embrace the philosophy that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is God. He's all we need and all we ever will need. Whatever your problem is right now, I will guarantee you a fresh relationship with Jesus Christ will fix it. Some of y'all are sitting there stunned. I'm telling you, pick your words carefully, George. Whatever you're, I started to say, I don't care what you're going through. That just doesn't sound right, because I do care. But whatever it is, that's good. It doesn't matter what you're going through. Hallelujah. If you are unemployed, your best friend is not the unemployment office. They're there to help. What did I just read that? All dominions, principalities, and powers. It's all been created by God for our benefit. But he is still the creator. Jesus is still the provider. Amen. You go sign up for benefits? Yes, go sign up for benefits. But you get on your knees and go to God to get your job. Are you out there? Hallelujah. When it comes to economic stresses, anybody know what that means? our savior, our fixer, our economic successor, make up a word as I go along, is Jesus Christ. I don't talk good, but I mean it. I mean well. I mean, yeah. English ain't good. Preaching's fair. Hallelujah. For by him, verse 17, he is before all things, and by him, a few things consist. Excuse me?
You're going to argue with me? Thank you. Thank you.
If someone lies to you like I just tried, you argue with them.
No, you debate the truth.
Hallelujah. By him, all things consist. Now, I got some news for some folks. Hello. Some folks in Washington, they have a job because Jesus Christ created our government. Now, some people struggle with that, especially those who are running it. But the book of Romans, Paul says we should not worry about the governments because they're there for our sake. And that the government officials, hello, Mr. Obama, hello, Mr. Senator, hello, Mr. Rendell, are there as the ministers of Christ. Well, hallelujah. Wouldn't you think that would be a nice thing for them to know and understand? Maybe you can send them a copy of the tape. Hallelujah. Well, we don't have tapes. We got digital everything now. Hallelujah. If I'm not here next week, you know they got a copy. For those listening in European countries, I'm only kidding. We still have, last time I checked, still have freedom of speech and freedom of religion at the moment. Hallelujah. All things. Now, it's a very important thing I want to get before I lose what I'm talking about here. We're created, I had to say it, for him. I want to understand something today. This is really important. Everything out there, whatever out there means, everything in this world are at his disposal. Now, I'm not saying he's doing all the bad stuff. No. But I'm here to say the system that we sometimes don't like. Can anybody say April 15th? We all just got done not liking the government. Or liking, depends. I never get anything back. Any of you who did, put it in the offering plate. Whatever it is that's bugging us, annoying us, distressing us, can be used at the discretion of Jesus Christ to minister for him. Oh, hallelujah. Now, that I say hallelujah because that excites me. The very thing that causes so much nervousness, anxieties amongst the American people. I don't care what they vote in Congress, God is still the boss. And I'm really glad he's not a Democrat, and I'm equally glad he's not a Republican. He's not a teabagger, he's not an independent, he's God, his son is Jesus, and they are in charge of the country that I live in. Hallelujah. I want you to leave here today. If nothing else, I want you to remember that. No matter what's going on in the world around you, Jesus is still in charge. It was made by him, for him. Oh, hallelujah. I got to tell you right up front, I told you, I've served the Lord for 33 plus years. I have been blessed financially many, many, many times. I have never in 33 years received a check drawn on the bank of heaven, signed God. But I know those checks came from the hands of God. Because God can touch the system. God can touch the government. God can touch the bank. God can touch it all because it's his. Hallelujah. You may be careful who you remind of that. young people, you may not want to go in tomorrow morning and tell your English teacher, you work for God. Well, you just got report cards. You might get away with it. Go ahead. Hallelujah. Day before report cards, don't do that. Verse 18. I'm going to go into a transition here. He is the head of the body, the church. I want to stop right there. There's more. I want to make this perfectly clear. Does that even sound like Nixon? I want to make this thing perfectly clear. The head of the church is not the Pope, not a bishop, he's not the pastor, not even the apostolic oversight. The head of the church is Jesus Christ. Amen. You do not worship a religion. You do not worship a group of people. You do not worship a group of doctrines. We worship Jesus Christ, the head of the body. In another place, I won't take time now, Paul talks a lot about the body of Christ. I want you to think about this. This could get gross for a moment. All you guys who play videos, you go, yeah, I know that. I do that all the time. Think of the body without the head. Just if you could, just remove the head from the body. How long do you think the body would last? It would run into something real quick. The big D, death. Hallelujah. Everything, the leadership of your body comes from here. Anything that goes into the body has to go to the head and then back down to tell the hand to remove your hand. That's hot. It happens that quick, thank God. But without the head, the body dies. We need to understand in the church who it is we serve. We serve Jesus Christ. Not some God, not a God, but the only God. Hallelujah. I won't go there. Hallelujah. I don't care how many times you chant it, how many times you say it, God does have a son. His name is Jesus. He is the Christ. He's God of all. Amen. He's the head of the body who is the beginning of the firstborn of the dead, that in all, someone help me out here, what does all mean? All is one of those great words. I was going like that. He's either got a twitch or I'm off my. All things. Okay, we got. He's the firstborn from the dead that in some things. Come on, catch me here. In most things. In a thing or two. In the things of only religion. All things. He might have the preeminence. I like that word preeminence. I had to look it up last night. It means he's first in everything. He's the head of everything, that in all things he might be number one. Hallelujah. You know, they did take these polls, Brother Charlie. I get a kick out of polls. I really do. Rasmussen and ABC, and they all do these polls, you know what I mean? If they ever polled Jesus, they would find out something, Brother Pear. Both in the United States and in Sweden, Jesus is number one. Hallelujah. By the way, how's that new grandson doing over there in Sweden? 21 days over. Woo. It must be time for mama to come home pretty soon. That's a long time. Hallelujah. Jesus is not one of the prophets. I don't know where I'm going with this. We'll find out in a minute. One of the things about not having a lot of notes up here, brother, I just kind of... Jesus is not one of the prophets. He is the prophet. He is the head. Not just of the Pentecostal movement. Not just of the Protestant church. Not just of the Catholic church. He's the God of all things. He's number one in all things. And even if you deny him, he's still number one. Are you out there? I've had some people in my life, leadership types that I've denied, but they were still the boss. I know none of y'all would never do that. You would never want to deny the existence of your boss. Hallelujah. But he's still the boss, or she's still the boss. Jesus is still number one. And look at this, verse 19. It pleased the Father. This was the plan. Jesus just didn't usurp the authority and say, I'm taking over, Dad. I deal with children during the week. And I sometimes deal with that. I mean, little kids and big kids. I'm taking over now. You think so? Jesus didn't look at his father and said, I don't like the way you're doing things around here. I'm taking over. Oh, no. From the beginning, from before the beginning of the earth as we know it, Jesus was meant to be number one. And all the powers of God, all the authorities of God flow through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I heard a man from another faith tell me, I can believe all the Bible, but I just can't believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And you might not, you must not, shouldn't bother believing any of it. That's the whole point of this thing. Well, I just can't believe that. Can't, won't, your choice. Hallelujah. It pleased the Father that in him should the fullness dwell. All fullness dwell. Now, that's end of thought one. Thought two starts at verse 20. Usually I would make another week out of this, but I just want to get it done. Because I've read chapter 2, and I'm more excited about 2 than I was 1. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, I say whether it be things in earth or things in heaven, And let's stop for a second. Hallelujah. The best part's in verse 21. Verse 20. All this power was given through Jesus. He has authority for all this for a reason. Not just to say, I'm Jesus, I'm the boss. I don't find any places where Jesus has an ego problem. But to use that authority, to use that power to make peace. You don't need peace unless there's a war. You don't need to make peace, sister, unless there's a conflict. Jesus knew there was a conflict, which we're going to talk about in verse 21. And Jesus, through his blood, now I don't know how this went on, but I could almost imagine there was a time in heaven when Jesus said, okay, Dad, that's enough of the lambs. Don't send any more sheep to the slaughter. I'm here. By his blood, he made peace. Now I've got to tell you something. This is a lasting peace. This is not one of them pieces they sign in certain parts of the world and 2 days later, or while they're still signing, while the ink is still wet, they're shooting. I'm talking about real peace. Jesus made peace by his blood and reconciled all things to himself by him, whether they're in earth or in heaven. Verse 21, he's the reconciler. He's got the authority. He paid the price in blood, and this is what he did with the blood. And you. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read the Bible and it says you, I tend to take that personal. I'm supposed to. When you read this here, Brother Pear, and he says you, he's talking about you. Hallelujah. You know, Christians, we tend to look at everyone else and say, must be talking about Jeff. Must be talking about Pear. I don't believe in evolution, but I sometimes think that Christians came from the owl family. We're the only ones that can turn our head 180 degrees and say who at the same time. Who are you talking about? Who that for? It's for you. And you that were sometimes alienated. That got nothing to do with little guys with big black eyes. The next word I want you to hang on to. Enemies in your mind by wicked works. I know that's a comma. I want to rest there for a second. I want to say something real clear here. I get worn down. Hearing people think, say, or speak, they think they have a choice whether or not they need Jesus. Jesus had a way of saying some of the most infuriating things. I know we love Jesus here, but I got to tell you the truth. I could be wrong on this. But if I was there 2,000 years ago, I'm sure I would have got ticked off out in that crowd. He just said, he looked at the people,
especially the religious folks.
You know, knows that Jesus didn't have a bunch of tolerance for church folk. Anyway, he looked at them and says, if you're not with me, you're against me. If you're not gathering unto me, you are scattering abroad. Jesus, it was black and it was white. There was no gray in the middle. You're either born again or you're not. You're going to heaven, you're going to hell. People don't like that kind of preaching. Well, blame it on the Lord. Most people blame everything on him anyway. We were enemies. You were not just outside. You were not almost saved. Well, you know, I'm actually a pretty good old boy here. I just got a couple more things to clean up. No, you're an enemy. If you're not on God's side, if Jesus is not in your life, if he's not in charge of your life and setting order to your life, you are an enemy. But Jesus, through his death, the shedding of his blood, and the resurrection, reconciled you. He reconciled us. He brought us back and put us in right standing with God. You all, starting right here, were enemies of God. You hear that? Y'all can't hear that on the tape. That's silence. See, when we talk about sinners, we think about those folks out there. Never us. We were enemies of God. 33 and a half years ago, God had an enemy by the name of George. My thoughts, my actions, everything I did was opposite to what God wanted. But thanks be unto God, through the blood of his son, I was reconciled, put back in right standing. Through his body, through his flesh, through his death. For a reason. Can someone please say divine order? Hallelujah. Divine order to present you. Here we go again. There's no such thing as selective Christianity. Can I tell you what selective Christianity is? It goes something like this. We read the Bible. Oh, I love you. Oh, I love that part. Beholding, I don't like that. Throw it away. I had an old Bible I did that with one time. I almost got hung in a jail one time. I tore pages out of it. It was an old Bible. And I did it for effect. I didn't get the effect I wanted. I was glad to get out of there in one piece. But we'll go through the Bible and the parts we like. Ooh, divine healing. I'm the Lord God who heals you. I like that. Thou shalt not. No, that can't be for me. That's Old Testament. We begin to select the parts of Scripture that we like. Here's one you might be willing or wanting to throw away. Be ye therefore holy, for I am a holy God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, preacher, you're getting legalistic. No, I'm being Christian. To present you. Surely that means Jeff. Or Pear. Charlotte. Surely, all the above. Amen. To present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable. Whew, you talk about a trinity of blessings. God wants you to be holy without blame, and no one can lay that on you because you're unreprovable. Don't need to be corrected. How many here just love to be corrected? Huh, a couple of yous. I ain't one of them. I'll tell you right now, my hand is not. I do not like correction. So I look at this, Brother Dave Roberts. I look at this, and I say, you know what? Bring it on, Lord. I want to get to a place where people can't point a finger at me and say, you're a hypocrite. You're this or you're that. I want to be unreprovable in his sight. Should I preach on his for a few moments? I'm just going to put this as plain as I know how to play and put it. You know I can be pretty plain. I really don't care what that unsaved heathen world out there thinks about me. I want to know what he thinks. Because I'm going to tell you something. The day's coming sooner than when I first got saved. The day's coming. I'm going to stand before him. That's supposed to work, and it don't. Supposed to stand before someone and be judged. My neighbor can judge me. My boss can judge me. You can judge me. Don't mean a thing. But when I stand before God, I said this to someone yesterday, the one thing I want to hear, sister, I've lived for this for 33 years. I want to hear, the first thing I want to hear when I get to heaven is, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter in to that which has been prepared for you. Hallelujah. The last thing I want to hear is, who you? Are you out there? Because of the work of God, I can be holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. There's an if. Wouldn't you know it? You know, there's something about that little two-letter word, Dave. It's just something about if. What do you mean, if? What's all this unconditional stuff? Can't I just do what I want to do? No, not really. If. Now, let me just say something for the sake of the internet here. I am not legalistic. Really, I'm not. I understand grace because I am a recipient of grace. If it wasn't for God's grace, I'd be long gone and all messed up. But when you come on board of Christianity, it's just like it was in Genesis chapter 1. This is a review. The world was without shape and it was void. That means it was all mixed up. The Bible said God spoke and it had to separate the light from the dark. That means it was all a gray matter, all mixed up. The next thing he had to separate the water from the land. That means it was all mixed up. God separated. He took away. When God looks at you and I, when we come to him, brother, he looks at you and I and says, he's all messed up. I got to do some separating. I got to do some fixing. It's called order. And if you look through Genesis, you see after the separation, then the ground was ready to bring forth fruit according to the seed. And when he was all done, Brother Tony, when it was all done and it was all in order, then and only then he made man. Hallelujah. If you continue in the teaching of the church, if you continue following the pastor and buying him a new Cadillac every year. I lived in an area. I won't tell you where it was. I lived in an area where a man stood in his pulpit. Except down there it's called pulpit. He stood in the pulpit and he prophesied. Actually, he prophesied. Thus saith the Lord, buy my servant a Cadillac white on white. And you know what the church did? They went out and bought him a white Cadillac with white interior. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed it. If you continue in the faith, notice it doesn't say a faith. It doesn't say any old thing will do. It doesn't say mix the philosophies. You wonder where I got that from? Let me tell you where I got that from. In the Garden of Eden. God said, this is the way it's going to be. Here came the snake. Offered another opinion. Never told Adam and Eve that God was wrong. But simply said, this is the way it really is. Another opinion. And Eve, and then Adam, don't leave Adam out of this. Eve was deceived. Adam said, okay. Us men know something about being influenced, but we ain't talking about that today. The woman was deceived. The man made a choice. Okay. You can almost hear him going, okay. They took the alternate opinion, the alternate philosophy, and they added it to what God had already told them, and what they ended up with was thrown out of the garden. Be careful taking alternate philosophies. If you continue in the faith, grounded, settled, be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Does this anything sound like something unshakable? Does this sound like something that's sturdy? We live in a world that scares the bejesus out of me. When I talk to people, so-called educated, but definitely educators, where there's nothing the same, there's nothing permanent, there are no absolutes, that world is fantasy and it's dangerous. God said through the apostle that we need to be grounded in the faith, that we won't be moved away from. We're grounded. We're settled. Let me tell you something. Thou shalt not of 5,000 years ago is thou shalt not of today. Nothing to do with society. Nothing to do with, we have grown past that. I sincerely hope not. There is no right way to do a wrong thing. If it was wrong in the beginning, it's still wrong. Which you have heard. Anybody hearing out there? Which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. I'm going to stop there because the third thought's coming in here. Divine order. The apostle says, in the order of things, the scheme of things, all the authorities, abilities, needed powers of God are in Christ Jesus. We talk about having Christ within us. If that be true, if that metaphor be true, because actually Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father. He indwells us through the Holy Spirit. If we have that within us, we have within us the fullness of the Godhead bodily. All that we need for success. All that we need to overcome. All that we need to be successful in Christ as a parent, as a student, as a whatever, we have it, okay? It's been given us through Christ. Everything, powers and principalities, principalities also means governments, created by him, for him, is all in his charge. Hallelujah. And has given his body to erase the enmity. That's a King James word. I love it. The enmity. There's an enmity between us and God. There was a violent opposition between us. But let me give you a little Greek lesson. In that word enmity, it means that God, we were against God, and because of it, God became against us. Now, I don't know about you. In 60-whatever years, I've gained an enemy or two. I can live with it. I got enough friends. I can live with an enemy or two. I prefer not to, but I can. The one I do not want to be my enemy is seated in heaven. His Son is at the right hand, and His Spirit roaming the earth. I do not wish to be the enemy of God, but through the blood. Where is it? Through the blood. Not working. Anyway, there it goes. In the body of His flesh, through death, He erased that enmity. Now, all that said, let me say one more thing here in verse chapter 1 about divine order. Verse 24 through 29, I'm not going to read it all. I want to say something here about this in closing. The Apostle Paul, one of the few places you see him do this, he validated his ministry. He said, I'm here, I've preached this, I'm doing this because I was chosen to do so. Now, you may say, well, why would the apostle say, why does he have to? Because there were those in those times who were saying he was not a man of God. I believe this is important for a reason. If we're going to be a minister, if we're going to do something for Jesus, we better be sure it's his idea. I know a lot of folks. I got people trying to contact me right now who've made themselves apostles. I don't have time to return the phone call. I believe in apostles. I do not believe in self-appointed ones. So many folks, maybe not so many, but a lot of folks that I know of, God told me to do this and God told me to do that. All I'm saying is, did he? The Apostle Paul said, I am apostle because God called me an apostle. I am doing this because God told me to do this. Even in ministry, there is a divine order to things. Hallelujah. Ordination, I won't get boring with this, I hope, is a good thing. However, for the right amount of money, you can buy an ordination paper from almost any place you want. Okay? The ordination I'm concerned with, Brother Pear, is the one where God goes, I'm putting my thumbprint on him or her to do a specific work. There is a divine order, even in, maybe especially in, the church. There's one thing the enemy, the devil, does not want: order. Doesn't want order in your life. Doesn't want the dark separated from the light. Doesn't want you unmixed up. Doesn't want you knowing truth. Doesn't want you having that divine favor that makes you successful. The devil does not want to see the fruit of the gospel growing in your life. By the way, anybody remember where the seed came from that grows that fruit? The seed of God. God has deposited his seed in you. I said this the first time I preached this, and people looked at me, oh my God, what's he talking about? I said, you're pregnant. God has impregnated you. He's put his seed in you. Just the same as the little woman in the book of Luke. And what came out of her 9 months later was Jesus. What's coming out of us, Brother Jamie? Jesus. Because we have that seed inside of us. Genesis chapter 1 says that everything reproduces after the seed. Anyway, the devil doesn't want us to have our lives in order. The devil does not want your family in order. Can I tell you what the order of the family is? Do I dare? It's in chapter 2 and 3. We're heading there. God's the head. Next, the authority and responsibility goes to the father, then the mother, then the children. Now, notice I turned my hand sideways when I did that. I don't necessarily say it's this way, this way, this way, this way. No, I'm not really into that whole dichotomy. But there's a flow of authority. The authority for good parenting comes from God the Father through the Son. Now, I'm going to say this to you with all the love in my heart, because I deal with parents and children all week long. When you deal with a problem child, most likely you have a problem parent. it can all be fixed. Trust me, it can all be fixed. In Christ Jesus, it can be fixed. But if that authority is not flowing down through the family, if mom and dad are not allowing the grace and power and mercy of God to flow through them, it can't get to the kids, not in the family. They can find it alone. I get that. But the ideal situation, how many of you have ever read the passage in John chapter 10, verse 10? So the enemy came to rob, steal, and destroy. But I've come to give them life, and that more abundantly. The abundant life is not just surviving. The abundant life is not just getting by. The abundant life is having more than enough. Do you ever take a bottle of Coca-Cola or any other gaseous drink and shake it up? What comes out of it is the abundance of Coca-Cola. You take a Christian, you shake them up, what should be coming out is the abundant life. More than enough. Not just enough to get by. God wants to have more than enough. He wants you to have more than enough as a parent. If his authority is not flowing through you, you're not going to give it to your kids. Husbands and wives, let me say something here. Please note, it's in Colossians, it's in Ephesians. Paul said that the order is first God, then the husband, then the wife. Husbands, stand up and take your place in the home. Not as a big shot boss, but as the priest of your head of your household. The priest is the one who interceded. The priest is the one who made sacrifice. The priest led by example. I hear men say, well, my wife is just bossy. She takes over. Well, maybe if you did your job, sir, your wife would not have to. Ladies, if your husband, hallelujah, won't run the family, make him run the family. You say, but it'll fall apart. Not if you're a Christian people. I'm telling you, God has a divine order to things, Brother Pear. And above all, children do not run the household. All the kids went, oh, man, I don't like this. Do you want the abundant life or not? I want the blessings of God, Brother Dave. If you don't want them, that's fine. Leaves more for me. Not really. There's more than enough. He's all I need. Hallelujah. If we want God's blessing, we must have divine order in our lives, families, jobs, businesses. Hallelujah. I gotta go back and read something. Where is it, Lord? It's here someplace. Can't find it. Help me. Hallelujah. There is a place. We read it last week. There it is. That you might walk worthy of the Lord. We at one time were not worthy to receive the blessings of God. But through having him in our life, creating divine order in our lives, we now qualify for the blessings. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. Hallelujah. There is a divine order. Next week, God willing, we're going to go a little deeper. Chapter 2 of Colossians. You say, well, Pastor, again, I got to ask, why are you spending so much time talking about divine order? Perhaps because the church is out of order. Our lives are out of order. I am so convinced. I'm as convinced of this as I am of anything, that God wants us to be successful as parents, as husbands and wives, students, whatever it is, whatever your state in life, God wants us to be successful, which will take the blessings and glory of God, which can only be received if we have been qualified. Please think about this during the week. God could not create man until the rest of everything else had been set in order. You can't receive the blessings of God until you've allowed him to set your life in order. Say, but I got some of the blessings, but do you have enough? Do you have all you can handle? Let me challenge you in closing with a scripture, Brother Dave. The Bible tells me that God wants to bless me, pressed down, shaken together. It says he wants to give me a blessing
that I cannot contain. 33 and a half years into this thing, I can still contain it. Something's wrong. I want a blessing that I can't handle. Does that sound crazy? I want a blessing so big, I go, oh my God, this is great. It's bigger than me. Okay, God, bring it. Bring the correction. Bring the direction. Bring the changing. Bring the pruning. Bring it. Bring me to the place where I'm in divine order. And I can hear the same voice that spoke to Jesus from the heavens. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. I thank God for the positional statement that I am saved. I thank God that I am forgiven. I thank God that all of that is right here and now. But I also know there's a deeper walk. There's a deeper change. There's a greater benefit and blessing than I've been able to contain thus far. Can I challenge you today? Have you had enough yet? Have you had enough of Jesus yet? Sometimes we get just enough of Jesus to turn us off to religion. Or just enough of religion to turn us off to Jesus. Depends how you want to look at it. We get just enough of God that's like an inoculation so we don't get the real thing. You got enough yet? You got enough of that success? You got enough of that abundant life? You got enough of that overflowed goodness and graciousness? I don't know about you, brother. I could stand to be a little happier. I could stand to be holier. I really could, Brother Tony. I get bouncing up here sometimes. You know, a lot of times I'm just down. I could stand to have a little bit of more Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name, continue by your grace and mercy to set our lives in divine order. Change what needs to be changed. Fix what is broken. Recycle what can be recycled. Strengthen the things that remain. Father, prepare us as a people to receive the overflow of blessing that you have planned for us. In Jesus' name. Father, I prophesy health, wealth, and prosperity to your people. I pray that the truth of this gospel message will follow us day after day after day. That we will know and understand and declare with our voice, he's all I need. He's done it all. It's all in him. I need nothing else. He's doing what he said he'd do. The apostle wrote, said, I know this thing. I am persuaded that he who started a good work in you is able to finish it until the day of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever God started in you, folks, he's still working on it. Hallelujah. God's still working on your family. God's still working on your finances. God's still working on your personal walk with him. God's still working on your ministries. God is still at work. In Jesus' name, believe that. Act upon it. Live like you believe it. In Jesus' name. Let's stand to our feet. Father, in Jesus' name, may we leave this place in peace. May we come back in excitement. May we grasp the truth of your gospel and apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name. May no person walk out the door the way they came in. And when we come back next week, let us come expecting bringing a friend with us to introduce them to the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Go in peace. Be blessed. Be healthy. Stay saved. In Jesus' name.